Good morning. This February 21st meeting of the Senate Finance Committee will come to order. We have two bills on the agenda, and we're going to start with Senate File 667, Senator Kunesh.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. 667 is an amendment and modifying the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. This was a bill that statutes that have been around for a couple of decades that protects and has protective measures for Indian child removal. We know that historically our Native kids have been removed at the highest rates of any other group. And 667 just enforces the previous language that is very similar to the federal ICWA laws, Indian Child Welfare. And it incorporates some of the ICWA language, but removes any reference to ICWA so that we have a pure Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. And so for this committee specifically, the Finance Committee, we were asked to put together a fiscal note. And if you go to page 5 of, do you all have copies of the fiscal note? If you go to page 5 of the fiscal note and go down to expenditure and or revenue formula, it states it is not possible to estimate the impact on case filings, hearing time, and court order writing time. And it states that any impact to the courts will be absorbed. So at this point, I don't have a dollar amount for the for this bill, but we do know that the courts will be able to take care of those costs as needed.
Any Senator Champion?
Mr. Chair and Senator Kunis, just for clarity, this is already done in law, so that's why there would be no cost, because it's already there. So I wanted that to be clear, because I believe that's what the great author was saying, but I just wanted it to be clear that there's no cost because it's already being done.
Mr. Chair, that is correct. We already have in statute the Minnesota Indian Family Preservation Act. There are ICWA courts, there are ICWA ombudspersons and those sort of things, so there's not a change, there's not additional action that needs to be done that would require additional monies.
Good. Thank you. And Senator Pratt, and then we'll have Mr. Nauman quickly go through the fiscal note.
Mr. Chair, you can have Mr. Nauman go through. I can wait.
Mr. Chair, I feel like it's already been testified. The court has gone through a rather lengthy collection of assumptions for its responsibilities under the proposed legislation, and the agency has indicated that they will be able to absorb any expenses associated with this bill within its existing base.
Is there further discussion? Senator Pratt.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to thank the author, you, for getting a fiscal note on this. You know, as we've talked about on some other bills, I think even when we're doing, you know, what we presume to be current law, it's always nice to make sure that we go through the exercise of validating that we're not adding anything extra. So, Senator Kunesh, I appreciate you doing this, and Mr. Chair, I appreciate you making sure we had a fiscal note. It would be nice if we could schedule a 24-hour review period. I mean, in this case, it wasn't that bad, but as fiscal notes come through, it'd be nice if we had that protocol going forward.
Senator Pratt, we will try to do as much advance notice as we can. I thought this was going to be here earlier than it was, but it's obviously easier in a case like this, and the more complex the fiscal notes, the more time we should do. Is there further discussion? If not, Senator Champion moves that Senate File 667 be recommended to pass. Further discussion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming, Senator Kunesh.
Members, I am going to chair As Senator Marty is approaching the testifiers table, as you know, before the committee is Senate file number 5. The information is also a part of your packet. You'll see that there is a fiscal note there, and you also see that there is documentation from Senate Counsel Research and Fiscal Analysis that sort of walks through the paces of the bill. Just want to turn your attention to that so that you have all that information along with the Senate file. With that being stated, Senator Marty, welcome to the committee. And
thank
if you'd be
Mr.
so kind
Chair.
As to you know, open up with any opening comments and sort of walk us through what you'd like for us to know. Thank
and
you
I
so much.
We will have an amendment to put on the appropriation, the A13 amendment. If that's not been distributed, please distribute it. But briefly, the bill is a simple bill that I think addresses a very troubling problem in Minnesota. We have thousands and thousands of catalytic converters stolen every year. And catalytic converters, for those who don't know, are a little part of the exhaust system of a car. Part of the exhaust system of a car that has several precious metals that are catalysts for converting toxic gases into more benign gases in the exhaust system. And of the three precious metals used in them, rhodium, the most valuable of them, is about 12 times the price of gold, to which one of our colleagues said, who would guess that you put something 12 times as expensive as gold on the bottom of your car, you might have a problem. And thieves figure that out, and they can cut them off in about a minute or less with a sawzall or other tool. And they're very hard to deal with because there's no way to identify them. If you look at your muffler on your car, since more people are familiar with mufflers, which car did it come from, there's not really a good way of knowing. And law enforcement from around the state have testified that they've stopped cars with multiple catalytic converters in the back seat and a sawzall or similar tool there, and they don't have probable cause to take them because the person says they're mine. It's happening around the state. Last year, Rochester School Bus Company had 20 converters stolen in one night. That could cost them $100,000. And the cost for replacement tends to be, for a typical car, $2,000 to $3,000. The thieves can get, for the ones they steal, usually somewhere between $500 and $1,500 for them. And so this bill does a couple of things to make the to get at the problem. First of all, it says it would be illegal. It makes a crime equivalent to theft to possess a used catalytic converter that's not attached to a car, unless it's got the car's vehicle identification number on it. And so the simple way to get at it is that when you take a catalytic converter off a car, you put the number on it. That's the way we can track it to the car, whether it's your thing to do. And so you do it on your own. You can just write it on with a permanent marker. If you're a muffler shop, which put on a lot of these nowadays because a lot are taken off, but they don't take many off. A big muffler shop might get one a week, but they just write the VIN number on, and a car scrapper can do the same. They usually have automated labeling systems for any expensive part of a car they dismantle, and catalytic converters may be the most valuable. You just slap that on. As long as it can tie it to the VIN number, you can legitimately have it. Then we could only allow you to sell them to licensed scrap dealers. And the scrap dealers would have to go through certain steps, which they already have to do for a lot of, for a number of precious metal or expensive things. Similar to pawn dealers, this would have the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension contract with a database that would have to be entered into. The VIN number would have to be entered into that when you buy one of these. It's a system that the scheme in this bill, which we've had for a couple years now, International Association of Auto Theft Investigators said that this would be a model bill for what other states should try, and this addresses all five or six of the things they argued you need to do to crack down on converter theft. The bill, in order to, for the finance provisions, the bill, in order to have the BCA purchase or buy into this this database that's currently used by law enforcement for pawn shops in Minnesota. Most pawn shop transactions have to be entered into that, and law enforcement can help use that to catch up on this. I have Superintendent Evans from the BCA here. I think, he's here if we have any questions or anything, but the fiscal note, as you'll see, suggests it would cost $100,000 to buy into this system. And with that, again, a lot of local law enforcement agencies, almost every big one would already be have purchased access to this database. But with this, the BCA would have access to the database, and they'd be able to, and it indicated they'd be happy to help smaller jurisdictions that may not have access to it, so they could go through the BCA to track down vehicle identification numbers and so on. And then $198,000 for an agent who would take care of all this and would do audits as needed of auto scrap metal dealers and the other responsibilities of this. And the neat thing about this bill is it immediately take care of it. There have been proposals, including by the state in the past, where the money was put into labeling catalytic converters that are on existing cars. But that's expensive. Having new cars be added to it is expensive. And you don't really need to know. If I want to know the vehicle identification number for Senator Murphy's catalytic converter, I just look at the car it's on. It's only when you take it off the car that you don't know what car it belongs to, and this would make it simple to do. And for thieves, it's a troubling thing. They can get your VIN number off the windshield, but if the police type in that VIN number, they find out it came from your car, and they can track down that it's stolen. If it's a false VIN number or no VIN number, they have them for penalties equivalent to theft. And with that, I think that's a good explanation. I hope enough of the explanation of the bill. And if Mr. Nauman wants to go through the fiscal note, that's great. And again, I said we have Superintendent Evans here from the BCA if anybody has any questions.
Senator, before we go to Mr. Nauman, which we will, I want to first go to Senator Dreheim, who had a question. You can wait until after. And would you like for us to go through the fiscal amendment note before the A13?
Let's put the amendment on because it goes with the fiscal note. So, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move the A13 amendment.
Senator Marty moves the A13 amendment. Any questions regarding the A13 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The motion passes and the amendment is adopted. Mr. Nauman, would you be so kind as to go through the fiscal note?
Mr. Chair and Senators, the fiscal note, its operative language is on page 5, and Senator Marty has gone through this already, but the Department of Public Safety is the only cost identified in the note, and $198,000 for a special agent to implement the bill and do the work associated with standing up this program. And then there's some ongoing costs of $100,000 for the system that Senator Marty described earlier. So there's these numbers comport with the amendment that was just adopted of $298,000 on an ongoing basis.
Thank you, Mr. Nauman. Any questions of Mr. Nauman as it relates to the fiscal note? All right, seeing none. Any other questions? So, Senator Dreheim, would you like to go forward with your question now?
Thank you, Chair Champion, and thank you for the bill trying to address a really rampant problem that we do have in the last couple of years here in Minnesota. My question has to do with the used parts industry, and just kind of curious if you had conversations with that industry. And my assumption would be if I would total my car and someone would buy my car or vehicle for parts and then part it out, which there are people in my former district that did do that, quite a big operation, actually. They'd have to write the VIN number of the vehicle they're scrapping on there. And then what happens if someone purchases that? If you could just elaborate on that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Mr. Chair and Senator Dreheim, yes, the scrapping industry, I mean, if you had a fairly big one in your district, they record, I mean, they sell headlights off of cars for used things and so on. It's a recycling industry, in effect. And they mark anything that's valuable, like an engine block or something. They most of them have a sticker kind of thing. They'll just slap it on every car, and that sticker has a coding that ties it to the vehicle identification number, which this bill would allow, as long as law enforcement can get the VIN number off of it. And you just, instead of just slapping it on, I'm sure they already do in many cases, put it on catalytic converters. And again, when you got a rusty hulk of metal, put a sticker on that. But again, that's often the most valuable thing of a used car, of a scrapped car, because they're, again, they're often going for upwards of $1,000. And so we are saying, yes, they can use an alternative numbering system as long as law enforcement can tie that to vehicle identification number. And it seems when you're dealing with tens of thousands of catalytic converters, it may sound like it's kind of a lot of work, but again, they're already labeling expensive things anyhow. And if you think of how a jeweler would deal with a $500-$800 watches and how they track each one, I mean, this is, even though this looks like a piece of junk, it's a very expensive piece.
Senator Hamm, any follow-up? Any additional questions of Senator Marty to this bill?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It's not really a question. It sounds like we're getting ready to go to a vote, so I thought I'd just make a couple of comments. Senator Marty, I know you've been working on this a long time, and you're extremely passionate about it. My one concern is that we're not going to see a real drop in thefts. What we're going to see is a shifting of the black market across the borders. But I'm also concerned that this is probably the fourth or fifth bill that we've had in finance prior to the February forecast and prior to targets being set that adds money to the base going forward. And while it's not a lot of money, $300,000 a year is not considered a large amount of money when you've got a $58 billion state budget. But I think it's concerning to me how the majority is basically spending money ahead of the forecast, ahead of budget targets. We had this discussion last year, Senator Marty, that you led with Senator Rosen about how we were moving forward without targets. And I would suggest that we go back to a protocol where when we're adding money to the base, when we're committing future budgets, that we do so in a more thoughtful way than kind of the ad hoc method that we're going forward with today.
Senator Marty, any
sure.
Questions?
First of all, on the second part of your thing, yes, we are working on budget targets now. We're in the process of that, trying to prioritize where things go. There are a number of bills that, for either urgency or because I think there's high priorities, we're tracking this money. This obviously takes money away from the targets available to whether it's education or commerce or wherever else. So, yes, very aware of that and very much trying to limit the number of bills, but I think this is an important one. And to the first part of your question about whether this will make a difference, again, the auto theft investigators listed six things that they thought should be done to crack down on the theft, and they said this hits every one of them and should be seen as a model. Because like every step along the way, if you look online in Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and other such online things, you'll find ads for, we'll pay cash for converters. Scrap metal dealer who lived right outside my old district was doing that. And I mean, I hear from people they may have been a dishonest dealer. And a lot of the places you'll find on Craigslist and so on, they'll say, oh, you contact them and they say, oh, where you live? You live in Chaska, wherever. We can meet you at the local Walmart parking lot Saturday morning at 8 in the morning. We'll buy any converters you have. Well, this bill would crack that down because, first of all, it has to have the VIN number on it so it's trackable, and you can only sell it to a licensed scrap metal dealer, not somebody who's showing up at a Walmart parking lot. So law enforcement could do a sting against that. If they catch you with a product in your car, they can get you for the equivalent of theft if they can't show the theft. And so every step along the way, we are tracking it. Scrap metal dealer cannot give you cash at the moment of sale. They have to do a way that there's a paper trail for where the money is going. We're trying to crack down at every step along the way. And again, I'm not an auto theft expert, but the auto theft experts say this bill should be a model for how you can best do it. Will it eliminate auto theft? No. Will it eliminate candidate converter theft? No. It will reduce the number. And I think in a couple of years, I hope it will be a huge reduction in it. And yeah, I wish there was none. But just last Sunday, I had an older couple come and tell me how they lost theirs in their car in a locked condo under their assisted living or whatever facility they were in, and they said they got video cameras of the garage. The locked garage shows the car pull in, license plates were covered or not there, and they were in the building less than 3 minutes, according to the cameras, and they got at least two converters in that time. And to me, you know, if cops stop them anywhere, and again, the buyer has to make sure the VIN number is there. They can't buy it otherwise. So we're making every part of it fit in here, and I think that's what the law enforcement folks have said. And again, if you, Superintendent Evans is here, if anybody wants to hear from BCA.
Any follow-up? Senator Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Marty. You know, let me just say that every one of the bills that we've seen that adds money to the base increase doesn't occur until July of 2023. The only urgency we've had is political urgency, not financial urgency, and I'll let it rest at that.
Senator Dames.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Marty. So the fines, if these people are picked up, where will those fines go?
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, they would go to on page 8, line 20, if they're seized as contraband, the agency, if they can determine whose catalytic converter it came from, which in many cases, if it doesn't have the VIN number on it, they can't. But if they can determine it, the proceeds would go to that. If not, the agency gets to keep, the law enforcement gets 70%, and the remaining 30% would go to the prosecutorial office. So I think that's that told by, I don't know if Mr. Turner's here, but I think that's the standard on how we often break down for forfeiture and things.
Senator Dames, follow up.
Another question for you, Senator Marty. I'm assuming that if a business gets caught handling these catalytic converters improperly, that their penalties will probably be pretty severe. Do you feel the individual stealing them, if they get caught, that these penalties are going to be severe? Or if these penalties are going to be kind of wiped under for a few times until, you know, the first time they let the people off and this and that and the other things, like we're seeing in many cases in the courts, they're not penalizing to the extent they could be.
Sure.
What's your Senator opinion Martin. To that?
I'm sorry. Senator Marty.
Sure. Mr. Chair, Senator Dames, we're tracking exactly the theft statutes, which, in effect, what we're trying to do, the one simplicity thing here, instead of trying to estimate, some catalytic converter, many cars have more than one catalytic converter on them, and some of the small ones may only be worth $100, $200. But the ones that are being stolen tend to be in the $600, $700, $800 level. And again, when you determine the value of a theft, you could determine the value of the theft to the owner, mainly the person whose car it is, who's going to be paying $2,000 to $3,000. We decided to do a fairly conservative estimate. Rather than require the prosecutor to go around and call several scrap yards and how much could I get for this type of catalytic converter and then have to document that and show the court, no prosecutor is going to do that. So we just made an assumption in here we would be treating the, under the law, we'd be assuming that the value of a stolen or used catalytic converter that's breaking the law would be $500. So one would be a misdemeanor, two would be gross misdemeanor, 3 to 10, I think, is a lesser felony, 11 to 70, I think, is a medium level felony, and 70 or over is a high level felony. And when you want to see how big these are, the Minnesota law enforcement agencies were part of an FBI sting in, I think, November of last year. that netted, it was a multi-state ring, $545 million worth of stolen catalytic converters. So it's a huge, huge industry. And so we have, obviously, as our theft statutes do, the more there are, the more serious the penalties. But we're not tinkering with what the theft statutes are. We're trying to mirror that for this.
Just so that you have some clarity as well, when you think in terms of 609, which is the criminal statute, there's like receiving stolen property, there's criminal damage to property, there's the theft, and then also if you're able to connect whoever did the theft, like the person, you know, they also have the victim will have some consideration around restitution as well. But without getting all into that, I just want to make sure that we mention that. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Senator Marty, for this bill. The used catalytic converter market, I'm just a little concerned that we're a little narrow on just the scrap end of that market and not the used parts market. I think moving forward, I don't know if you've talked to people in that industry, and just to make sure that we're not going to harm them. And then I know a lot of people buy used parts, especially in rural Minnesota. And you're confident that you visited with those people and this isn't going to affect their ability to sell those parts.
Senator Marty.
Mr. Chair, Senator Dreheim, about 2 years ago when I was discussing this bill, I got a call from somebody up, I think, on the Iron Range, who said he does work on his own cars, and he has two used catalytic converters from his cars, which is pretty rare. I know a lot of people work on cars, and they don't have any reason to take off the catalytic converter. He wanted to know, would he be able to sell them, explain how we were doing. He said, oh, that's fine. He said, I've got the receipts for the new ones I replaced them with. And again, very few individuals do that. And I think if you talk to muffler shops and other places that do work on things like this, there are very few that need to be taken off. And all they have to do is mark the vehicle identification number on it. The muffler shop has to tell the date of the transaction, the car it's from, and so on. But again, that's not a huge number for them. And for an individual, yes, we want to make sure they can sell it and that it's taken care of properly. And Senate Counsel pointed out, and we corrected it in previous Judiciary Committee, I believe, that when we're declaring these as contraband, if law enforcement picks one up without a VIN number, we're saying it's a crime to possess a used one not attached without the VIN number on. And he pointed out that we have to make sure that if law enforcement seizes one, it doesn't have a VIN number, and how do you sell that? So we even took care of that by saying if it's law enforcement contraband, it can be marked as such, and then it's legal to possess or sell or whatever that is well. But again, by limiting the number of people who can buy them to licensed registered scrap dealers, which is done by the BCA, it's a finite group of people who can do it, and again, we're trying to make sure every part of the process is a workable one. We even have a thing that if you have an old car in your backyard, it's been there for 30 years, you don't have the title anymore, now you realize, hey, this catalytic converter is worth something, you want to cut it off, we make a process for you contact the local law enforcement agency to make it clear that it's your car, and then you can have it with just the VIN number but without the proof of ownership because you don't have the title anymore. And when you said for used car parts, again, most of these catalytic converters are sawed off. You can tell they're not meant for reuse. But their EPA does allow recertification of catalytic converters, and I'm told there's one business in Minnesota that does that, and this bill exempts one that's exempts the selling. They have to be EPA recertified for auto parts store or somebody to sell it, but we have a process in here to take care of that. So the handful, again, very few of them are being reused, recertified, and so on, but we do allow for that process for somebody who legitimately has one that they want to be reusing.
And where is that in the bill?
Senator Dreheim?
Mr. Chair, Senator Dreheim, let's see. under Section 7 on page 20, page 5, line 525, it talks about the converter has been EPA certified for reuse. That's the exception to the prohibition on possessing and so on. And then Section 8 on page 6, the prohibition specifically says it's unlawful for a person who's not a scrap dealer to purchase or acquire a used converter that's not EPA certified for reuse. Used converter that is EPA certified for reuse may be sold to a person or business for reuse as a replacement part. So in effect, we are taking care of those as well. But otherwise, these are not used as, they're used because it, rhodium, I think the latest I heard was like $22,000 an ounce, but these are trace amounts of these, but still that adds up very quickly. And so the reason they're being cut off is not for spare parts. They're cutting them off to melt them down and get the metal out.
Senator Drahan, follow up.
Thank you, Chair, and sorry about that. I just don't see the language in here for non-scrap dealers to sell used parts, other than that one reference. And we can work on it later. And if no one complains about it, I'm fine with it. I just don't want to eliminate an industry because they're not classified in this bill. Thank you.
Any additional questions of the author before we go forward?
Mr. Chair, to Senator Draham's point,
Senator
yes,
Marty.
They're not used for, other than EPA certified ones, they cannot be reused. I can't take a catalytic converter that you sell me, even if you cut it off, even if you took it off cleanly, so I could just use it on my car, even if it's the right kind of car, even if everything else, I couldn't do that legally. So the only way you can get it to be used as a spare part is if it's EPA certified for reuse.
Senator Westrum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Marty, I'm a little concerned this is going a lot too far to fix a problem that will probably just evolve to a different problem. I guess to Senator Draheim's point, I mean, you're eliminating basically used parts resale. But Senator Marty, what do you think is going to be the next part that thieves will find on a vehicle or in the backyard of somebody's house, meters that calculate utilities or things like that? I mean, there's all kinds of things out there, and are we going to just keep going down the road of let's just make it much more illegal to do this stuff and then limit who can possess or own catalytic converters? Seems like just a sledgehammer that really is going to have a lot of unintended consequences. And before you answer to the end, what's going to stop the criminals from just going over the border into the Dakotas or Wisconsin? We're close to Wisconsin here. Isn't that going to be just the workaround, and we're just going to frustrate a lot of scrap yards and other small businesses and really not get it what you're wanting to, or think we're going to get to, is stop the thievery of catalytic converters off of vehicles? They're going to just go to a different market, aren't they?
Senator Marty,
two questions if you can answer them.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I think I had about three questions. If I miss one, get back to me on it. But first of all, what the next type of thing is, I don't think you're going to have, I mean, thieves were stealing copper wires out of streetlights because copper is valuable, but copper is like a fraction of a percent of as much value as some of these precious metals. So yeah, maybe there will be others, but again, there are very few times you can pick up a piece of metal about this big and sell it for $800. There's a reason this is, so I don't think you're going to have all of a sudden, oh, if they can't steal the catalytic converter, they're going to steal the muffler. I mean, the muffler is worthless. A used muffler is not going to get you any money. This is valuable, so I don't know that it's going to transfer to another thing. Yes, thieves will try and steal anything they can of value. This is way out of everything else in value, and it's very easy to cut off, and it's often a hidden crime. They steal them in broad daylight because you slide under the car, and if they don't see you climbing under or out, you can get it very quickly. In terms of stopping legitimate business, again, there is no legitimate business use for a used catalytic converter other than melting it down, and people don't just take them off their car because they like the noise. It's illegal to drive your car without one. They don't just take them off, and law enforcement saying this is a huge problem, and we got letters from County Attorneys Association, Chiefs of Police, Moorhead Police, Metro Cities, Auto Theft Investigators, Auto Recyclers Association, all sorts of others endorsing this is a logical way to do it because they can't stop them now. And yes, can they sell them across borders? Yes, if they get them across the border. And right now, the point is we, just because somebody might find a way around it, and the only way around it is to get them and steal them and take them out of state, and in a lot of parts of the state, I mean, we've heard from Granite Falls, we've heard from Moorhead, we've heard from Maplewood, we've heard from Rochester. All around the state, we're hearing about these huge problems. And yes, some people, some thieves may be able to beat it. But again, if you put somebody in the industry says could restrain their trade, but because people might be selling to somebody in Texas, and they point out a pickup truck load could have $100,000 worth of used converters on the back. So maybe it's worth your driving to Texas. But if you do catch them in Minnesota, you got them for $100,000. That's a major, major felony. So we're trying to stop every way we can. We're trying to stop the illegal possession. We're trying to stop the illegal sale. We're trying to stop the illegal buying. We're trying to stop every step along the way we can. And frankly, as the auto theft investigators have been suggesting, this should be a model for other states. And I would strongly encourage other states to do so. And I think that once one state passes this, I think we're going to see a lot of states doing the same thing.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom, a follow-up?
Yep, Mr. Chair.
Senator Westrom.
Senator Marty, the example you were using with the call you got from northern Minnesota and others that have been discussed, what is the option for getting the VIN number on that catalytic converter for the small operator or the operator that's got a couple catalytic converters they replaced? Can they just write it on with a marker or some sort of writing utensil, or do they have to engrave it in there? What? How's that going to practically work for the small individual or the person that does legitimately take it off and wants to sell it?
Senator Marty, I know that you answered this question a couple times earlier today.
Yes,
so if you could be really brief
I will try to do so, and I'm trying to find the language on it, but we explicitly say that here it's we explicitly say somewhere in here, and I'm not finding it right now, that you must when you take one off, you are to label it. You can do it is by simply taking a permanent marker and writing it on. It's a 16-digit code. It's the same code for everyone every auto manufacturer in the world has a VIN number on it. And I'm not finding exactly where, but we do specifically say that it can be put on by somebody simply by marking it on, or other ways. We also allow a kind of thing. You can have an alternative number used. Page 5, line 28. Marking of a vehicle identification or alternative number may be made in any permanent manner, including but not limited to an engraving or use of a permanent ink. So you could just take a marker and write it on, and that's what I expect would most commonly be done.
Senator Westrom. Senator Dreheim.
Thank you, Chair Champion, and thank you, Senator Marty. I'm just trying to, I spent 20 years in the parts business in multiple locations, and we had some interaction with scrap yards, and I just thinking back to my times in my neighboring scrapyards throughout my district now, and they have stockpiles of inventory, and I think your bill here goes into effect August 1st, and that really doesn't leave them time with their existing inventory, if you will, or scrap. They usually put all their parts together, or if they're planning to sell it, they just pile like kinds of metals together, and I would assume they would do that with catalytic converters. So without intent, they could have a container full of catalytic converters from cars that they have scrapped, because the scrapyards in my area, that's what they primarily do. They buy a car for $85 and tear it apart and send it down the road. What forms of communication are you going to give to these mainly rural scrapyards that might have a container full of different exhaust parts, and you know, without some guidance, I mean, they could get a $100,000 fine without the intent of robbing or stealing, and I think we all want to solve the problem you're trying to get at here, but I just want to make sure there's no consequences for those honest people just trying to make a buck out there.
Senator Marty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Dreheim, one of the things, I mean, I would have loved to have, I think whenever you have a crime that's increased in problem in severity over recent years significantly. I mean, I've been the last 3, 4, 5 years, we've been hearing from all over the state. Moorhead police have contacted us several times over this about the huge problem, and everywhere else. I would have loved to have it effective day after final enactment, but for crimes, we don't do that. That's why we have the August 1st date for new laws, unless we spell out in law a specific date for a crime to be effective, we give August 1st so that people have more chance to do it. That's one of the other reasons I'd like this bill to be passed quickly, so we have more than, if we pass it in late May, then it's only 2 months. But I think giving people notice, I think catalytic converter issue has been in the news enough. People will do it, and I think that's one of the reasons we want to make sure we set a reasonable time, and I think August 1st allows us to do that, and that's one of the reasons I'd like the bill to pass quickly.
There being no further questions, Senator Murphy moves that Senate File 5 as amended be recommended to pass and placed on general orders. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The motion prevails.
Division.
Division has been called. All those in favor, raise your hand. Did you get the count? Thank you so much. All those opposed, raise your hand. Senator Dames, are you okay? I couldn't see you down there. There being six ayes and five noes, the motion prevails.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, and Mr. Chair, before we adjourn, I'll say we're not meeting tomorrow, Thursday, because of the storm, and everything is going to be simply remote hearing. It's going to be a presentation by MMB on stadium refinancing.
So, Mr. Chair, just to be clear, you said we are not meeting tomorrow. It sounds like we are meeting tomorrow, but we're meeting on Zoom.
Tomorrow we are not meeting.
Okay.
Thursday is on Zoom.
Okay, got it. Thank you so very much. I wanted to make sure that you all were clear so I didn't lead you astray. With that being said, the Finance Committee is adjourned.